Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, we'll read verses 24 through 28 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." And let's finish on verse 28 together. Ready? "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that it's complete and perfect. It's exactly what we need. Now, Holy Spirit of God, would you please come down in your power today? We need you. We're sinners. I'm a sinner. God, I pray that you'd use the message of today to change our hearts, our lives, and Lord, may it be used to reach others. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I say this regularly in our church, but there's a reason I'll say it today. These are God's words, not man's words. We read a little while ago in the book of Matthew, but Matthew did not write Matthew. Those are God's words. Matthew is the, for lack of better terminology, the secretary that wrote it down word for word. But these are not Matthew's words. These are God's words. God said that his words were written before the creation of man. That means before there ever was a Matthew, the book of Matthew was already in heaven. God gave it to him word for word. He wrote it down word for word for us. Here in Matthew 24, there's a story, and there's probably one of the most mistaught things in Scripture. If you'll listen to me today, I can help you. Jesus is speaking to his disciples here in this passage. He knows that they are about to face one of the most difficult times of their life. Jesus is getting ready to be crucified. Jesus is getting ready to be leaving this earth to go back to heaven, and he knows his disciples must carry on the work of the church. You see, Jesus saw the struggle coming before him. He saw the evil, he saw the hatred, he saw the attacks, he saw it all coming by the devil himself. He looks at the men that he loved most, and he feared what they must face. Not because he couldn't handle it, but he understood what it was going to take for them to handle it. Those of you that are parents, you know, one of the hardest things about, and by the way, especially those of you that have children that are grown, college age or older, one of the hardest things about having grown children is you know what they're facing. You have to let them face it. You can't stop the attacks anymore. You can't say, "Oh, come here, sweetie, let me hold you, and your boo-boo's going to be okay." Because sometimes their boo-boos aren't okay when they're adults. That hurts. Jesus realizes he will not be able to stop the attacks that face his men. He's concerned about the men that he loved most facing them. And he tells them something here very interesting. I want you to look at verse 26. Now, I realize junior church is going on, but pay attention here. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" I want you to mark that word, soul. "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, I want you to understand something here. He said, "Look, fellas, the only way you're going to make it is if you have a healthy soul." He said, "What are you going to give in exchange for your soul?" Now, why is Jesus talking about his soul? Why is Jesus talking about their soul? He doesn't say, "What will a man give in exchange for his family?" He doesn't say, what will a man give in exchange for his health? No, he said, I want you to keep your soul in good shape. Say, what are you talking about? Let me explain something. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. We know that. That's called the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Those are three parts of God, yet he is one God. Just like man is a body, he is a soul, and he is a spirit. God made man to have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now watch this. The body is this shell, this robe of flesh. Some have bigger houses than others, amen? But we all have a body. By the way, everything here on earth that was created has some form of a body. Do you know that a plant has a body? But a plant does not have a soul or a spirit. So it has a body. A tree has a body. But it does not have a soul or a spirit. Can I tell you something? I'm not for destroying our earth, but people are far more important than a stupid tree. Let's face it. So you say, why? Because it's a body. But a man is a body, soul, and a spirit. Now watch this. The soul is, and by the way, the body is the house of everything that's inside. Now man has a soul. You say, what is a soul? My soul is that which is communicating with you right now. That is my wonderful personality. Your soul is that ability to communicate with one another. It is the personality of the creature. For instance, an animal has a body, but an animal also has a soul. You know that animals have different personalities. You say, what are you talking about? Your children. No, animals have different personalities. If you have had more than one animal, they all have different personalities. Mrs. Brinklow's back here. She gets these little dogs, you know, the ones that got to crank up their tail to bark. She's got one. It's ADHD. But it's the cutest little thing. But man, is it is hyper. And then when it gets excited, it just tremors like it's got epilepsy. Like this, you know? It is the greatest thing in the world. Now, wait a minute. You've got others, though. Man, they're as lazy and good for nothing other than to slap on the head. Amen? Eating food and making your kids clean up after them. You got others. They're hunting dogs. They're good for, you know, they all have different personalities and different temperaments. Say, why is that? Because they have a soul. Now, listen to me. Your soul is that which allows you to communicate with others. We would use the word personality. Your personality is unique. Now watch this. But man was made with a spirit. Man was made with a spirit. God breathed into man the breath or the spirit of life, and man became a living soul. Listen to this. His soul became alive because of the spirit. An animal has no spirit. When man sinned in the Garden of Eden, God said, the day that thou eatest the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Did Adam's body die that day? No, it did not. Did his soul die that day? No, it did not. But something died, or God is a liar. Well, according to Scripture, his spirit died. That's why when Nicodemus came to Jesus in John chapter 3, he said, how can I get to heaven? Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, wait a minute. You mean I as an adult got to get back into my mama's belly and be born again? Amen, Melissa? Ain't no way that's happening. You know, when mama said she's about to have a cow, that's what it would be if you had to do that. Now, wait a minute. He said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Two different spirits there. One capital S, one little s. That which is born of the Holy Spirit is man's spirit. Wow. Jesus said, you must be born again. It wasn't the soul that needed rebirthed. It was the spirit. By the way, that's why a lost person acts like an animal, and it does not bother them. That's, and I'm serious when I say this, that's why a lost man will accept evolution and a saved man will not. A lost man is thinking like an animal because his spirit is dead. Everybody got that? That's why they want to deny God, because they don't want to face God. Now, listen to me very carefully. God said, what shall a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own spirit? Oh no, his soul. So many times we preach this passage and say, you need to get born again. It shouldn't, you know, money shouldn't stop you. This shouldn't stop you. This isn't a born again sermon. This is about your soul. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, look, fellas, what good is it if you gain all the wealth and all the power of the world and nobody wants to be around you? What good is it if you have all the things you want and you have nobody with which to share it? He said, what good is it to have everything the world has to offer and your personality means nobody wants to be around you? Now, listen to me very carefully. How is your soul? How healthy is your soul? Your soul is your optimism, your outlook on life, your ability to get along with others. But hey, church member, is your soul miserable? Is it insecure, fearful, fretful, despondent, angry, panicked? How is your soul, church member? By the looks of some of you, your soul is pretty sick. Listen to me. I love you. Pastoring is not a job to me. It's a calling of God. It is. I love what I do. There's not one day of my life that I regret doing anything I must do. Now, I'll tell you, there's days that aren't as enjoyable as others, because sometimes the load is heavy and sometimes the load is hard. But that does not mean that I do not like what I do. Listen to me very carefully. How is your soul? To the people that I love most that are sitting in this room, I wish for you to have a healthy soul. I really do. I want to help you have a healthy soul. And I'm going to make a statement here. Some of you that think you are strong aren't as strong as you think you are. Some of you that think you are more spiritual than you really are in danger of having a very sick soul. Some of you have endured battles and your soul is worn out. Some of you have stood in the trenches, but your soul is damaged. You're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, may even go soul winning, but you can still have a damaged soul and keep on going. Is your soul wounded? Is your soul anemic? Is your soul weak? I wish, as your pastor, the truth of 3 John 2 on your life. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. God said, I wish that you were as healthy in body as your soul is healthy. You say, I don't understand that. Right down here on the second row, Brother Jerry Lowther has a healthy soul. He's had MS for 13 years. His body is not healthy, but he's got a healthy soul. I wish his body was as healthy as his soul. He'd never die. The wicked never die young. you say, what makes us love a Brother Jerry Lowther? He's got a healthy soul. His body is weak. His body is frail, but he has a healthy soul. Now, listen to me very carefully. I want to teach you today about how to have a healthy soul. Number one, it is the job of leaders to look after the soul of followers. It is the job of leaders to look after the soul of followers. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7. Don't turn there. Verse 17. Obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Watch this. For they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, because they watch for your soul. Do you know, I watch your souls. I watch as you sing in church, or in some cases as you don't. I watch your teenagers, and I watch their soul to see how healthy they are. I watch you as some days you're up, some days you're down, some days you're burdened down, and I watch to see how healthy your soul is. You see, it's my job as your pastor to watch your soul. A good leader does not worry about making you do... My PA man's sleeping today. Oops, wrong button.
Test.
Ah, there it is. You know, a good leader does not worry about getting anything out of you. A good leader wants to keep you healthy so that you can produce. He'll try to put into you so that you can produce more than you know you can produce. Folks, God compares the office of pastor as a shepherd. Do you know that when you shepherd sheep, you don't sit on the back of a horse and drive them like a cowboy does a bunch of horses or cattle? Say why? You'll kill them all. They're not real bright, and they're nervous type animals. You have to walk out in front of the sheep and they'll follow you. God says, look, you need to put into your flock as a pastor so that they can reproduce in the fold. Everybody doing okay? Here we go. A good leader seeks your healthy soul, because he knows a person with a healthy soul produces more work. The wise boss, those of you that love your boss, he watches for your soul. Or she watches for your soul. We have people in here, you own businesses and lead different crews and different things where you work. Can I tell you something? You'll get more out of your workers if you care about their soul more than you care about their productivity. My secretary, she'll tell you. I've not asked her this. But I watch her soul. I know what day she's up. I know what day she's not up. I know what day she's been up all night with a sick kid or a sick husband. Amen. Say, what do you do? On those days, I watch her soul back off the workload. You say, why? Because I can get more out of it that way, and so can she. I might not get as much that day, but if I keep her healthy, I have her longer. Can I tell you something? The same is true where you work. Some of you have good bosses. They might not be saved. They might be just worldly, but they have good people skills, and they watch for the soul of the people that work around them. Can I tell you something? Some of you that work in shops and industry, most bosses are stupid with the music they play where you work. You say, why? Because most of them play music that teaches the workers not to work. When I was in college, I worked in a machine shop. Oh, my soul. We worked and worked and worked and worked, and I worked. And I had when you work afternoon shift, all the big bosses are gone, and, you know, it's just a bunch of evening shift guys and stuff. They played the old stupid country western music, and honestly, I didn't listen to it, but you couldn't help it. It's going in. And finally, one night I was working, and this stupid song came on, and I don't know anything about it. I just remember one statement about it, and it was, take this job in, y'all know. Okay. Then the next part was, I'm not working here no more. I went to my boss, the man that owned the company. I said, do you realize how stupid you are? Now, you have to understand, Stuart was about 6'8", and went about 360, 370. Okay. He was a big man. His goal in life was to weigh himself on a normal scale. He had to weigh himself on the freight scale. Okay. I'm not kidding. The man was huge. He was just a big man. He had a head like a pumpkin, you know. You know, here I am, 5'8", 130 pounds, full of bananas and dripping wet, looking at this guy saying, do you know how stupid you are? And, you know, that was not real smart. He said, what are you talking about? I said, you're playing music in the shop that's telling everybody to quit working here. He said, what are you talking about? So I told him. He said, never thought about it that way. I said, everything in that song's about, and different things are about getting drunk and going out. And I said, do you realize how you're hurting the productivity of your company? You know, within days, the music changed in the shop. Those songs weren't played anymore. He came to me 2 months later and he said, Craig, we've had the greatest 2 months of productivity in our shop. He said, you were right. He said, I'm going to pay attention to this. Folks, we're not real smart. We have to understand that leaders are to watch for the souls of those that they lead. A good leader builds good soul around them. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Boys and girls, you ought to obey your mom and dad, whether you like it or not. I'm going to say that again. Boys and girls, you need to obey your mom and dad, whether you like it or not. That's your job. Your job is to obey. Now watch this. We're good parents at Ephesians 6:1. How about Ephesians 6:4? Say, what's that one? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Ooh. That's watching for their soul. Some of you are good at demanding obedience. Some of you, listen to this statement. Did you ever blow up at your kids? I am sick and tired of your bad attitude. Okay, what's yours like right now? Where do you think they learned it? Y'all know what I'm talking about? We've all been there. I'm not just confessing my sin. I'm confessing yours too. Yeah, I watch parents have a bad attitude trying to fix a bad attitude. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, I hate preaching to myself right now. You know, Walter, you really don't want me preaching on yours. You know, the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Wait a minute. Same passage. Husbands, love your wives. Ooh, that's watching out for their soul. Wives, submit, obey. Husbands, watch for their soul. We husbands and wives sometimes, by the way, God said husbands and wives, not husbands and husbands or wives and wives. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. Folks, if we would watch for each other's souls, we wouldn't have as much dissension in our homes. Now, parents, you are going to have to correct your children. At least you're supposed to, according to God. Amen. Well, I just don't like doing it. Well, I don't like getting up in the morning, but do it anyway. There's a lot of things in life you do, whether you like it or not. I never enjoyed one time correcting my children. If you enjoy it, something's wrong. Amen. But I do it because I love them so that they can endure longer so somebody else doesn't kill them. Amen. Okay. As your pastor, I see your faces. And some of you have a sick soul. It's my job as your pastor to try to make you healthy. It's my job as pastor to try to strengthen that soul that you have. Well, this is just the way I am and I'm not changing. That's just like the person that says, I smoke and I'm going to die of cancer whether you like it or not, and I'm going to keep doing it. That's like the drunkard that says, well, this is just what I am and I'm not changing. But you have the wherewithal to change. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang in there. It's going to get tougher. Some of you that think you're spiritual, and by the way, you may be spiritual, but your soul's not healthy. Do you know you can be spiritual with a sick soul? Okay, number two. Say, what are you talking about? Number one, leaders watch for the soul of followers. Number two, living under your circumstances creates a sick soul. Living under your circumstances creates a sick soul. Listen to this. Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into the judgment thy servant, for thy sight shall no man living be justified. Wait a minute. I'm in the wrong chapter here. I knew something wasn't right. I was in 143. Psalm 142. Whew. Man, I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. You know, you singers, I envy you. You can sing one song, change in the middle of that puppy, and nobody knows you screwed up, all right? When I do it, that's what happens, all right? Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord. Listen to this. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. Watch this. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Ooh. Do you know what precedes no man caring for the soul? They were crying out to God. They were complaining. They were depressed. They were despondent. And everything was negative out of their mouth. Folks, complacency will cause your soul to be unhealthy. Amen. Yes, I can put up with a lot in life. I hate complainers. There's three things in life I hate: liars, complainers, and whiners. Amen? We live in a whiny baby society. Toughen up. It's okay. Amen. Y'all think I'm rough. You should hear some of the old-time preachers. They'd call me a pussyfooter right now. Complacency will cause your soul to be unhealthy. Ladies, quit complaining about your house. Do something about it. Did you ever look back in the 1930s and see how people lived? They didn't complain about it. They were going through the depths of the Depression. They were just glad to have a place to be. Thankful for a meal. Not three, a meal. Everybody doing okay? Let me bring it down to where we live. I'm going to use the ridiculous to illustrate the obvious. I've been a Baptist for 46 years. I've been in Baptist churches for 47 years. You say, you're only 46. Yeah, but I went to church for 9 months before I was born. Trust me, I've been in church 47 years. I'm I have not heard anything, so if this is you, it's God, not me. But we've done a lot of work here at the church. I'm sure in a crowd this size, somebody doesn't like something about something we did. You don't like the color of the paint. You don't like the color of the carpet. You don't like the color of the chairs. You don't like this. You don't like that. Can I tell you something? Quit complaining about it.
Amen.
You're not going to change it anyway.
Amen.
That's why I didn't ask you. Because out of 150 people, we'd have had 175 different opinions. You all know what I'm talking about? Put it here, put it there, put it here. No, put it back there, put it there, put it there, put it there. Folks, you're not going to please everybody. But for you to go around complaining about it, why don't you just sit there and say, well, that's not the way I would do it. We'll take care of that tonight. Some of you complain about where you work. I was 16 years old. I got my first job. I went to go work for a little Greek fella who had a little restaurant. It was a pizza restaurant / Greek restaurant. We had about 6 or 8 tables in the front of the shop and the counter and then the kitchen. Now, at age 16, it was my job, and this is back in 19, none of your business. This guy, you know, he was real frugal. He said at one time he had been married and had children. I don't know if his family was still over in Greece, if he was divorced. I couldn't quite figure it out. But he actually lived in the store. Now, our utility closet where we keep all the cleaning supplies is twice the size of the room that he slept in. I'm not kidding. I mean, he literally lived in a closet in that place. He gave everything he had to that place. Say, what was your job? To work in the kitchen. And he had a 1980 Chevy Chevette 4-speed with no power steering, no power brakes for me to drive to deliver pizza in. His first question, can you drive stick shift? Yes, sir. Good, you're hired. That's all he said. My first job, minimum wage was $3.50. I think back then it was $2.85. I think right after I started it, it went up to $3.15. I got a raise, amen? When I got hired, I came home, told my dad, my mom, I got the job. My dad said, good, now sit down. Okay. He said, son, I don't ever want to hear you complain about a paycheck. I don't ever want to hear you complain that you don't make enough money. Don't you ever talk bad about your boss because he's not paying you enough. He said, if you work hard enough, he'll give you the raises. And if you're going to complain about it, quit and go make money somewhere else. But don't complain about it because you're the dummy that agreed to work for that.
Come on, good.
Every place I went to work while I lived at home, I got the same speech. You say, why? Because my dad wasn't going to put up with me complaining about how little money I had. Do you know what? I've never complained one time about my wages. You say, why? My dad's still alive. Those of you that know him know what I'm talking about. He might be 74 and I might be 46, but guess what? He still can whoop me, amen? Do you know some of you complain about your work too much? Some of you ought to be just thankful you have a job. Well, I work so hard. I hate to tell you, Mr. President, but the stupidest thing you can do is raise minimum wage to $10 an hour. We are paying people to do nothing and paying them $10 an hour. There's a reason they're called entry-level jobs. The only thing it's going to do is bump the wage system up, cause employers to have to lay off more people, which means more unemployment, which means more problems and more drain on the economy. Well, those are for jobs that nobody else wants to do. Let's have amnesty and let all the illegal immigrants just become citizens because they only do the work that Americans don't want to do. Bring the wages back down, bring the cost back down, and pardon me for saying this, if this offends you, tough, get rid of all the government funding of everybody that's not working, and they'll go work for a while. Hungry people decide to work, just so you know. Some of you complain about your children. Well, I hate to tell you something, they're yours. Some of you need to quit complaining about somebody else's children and work on yours. Some of you children need to quit complaining about your mom and dad. Someday you'll thank God for them. I must make this statement. Your complacency steals your soul. The more you complain about, you're looking at what you don't have or what you don't want, and that's causing your soul to be bad. I'm not for the power of positive thinking. Gag. You can, the little train that could. I think I can. That's good in some cases, but not everything. I'm for, and by the way, I've got a pretty good outlook on life, just so you know. I really do. I have a pretty healthy soul. You say, you're arrogant. Okay, I have my sins too. But I promise you, you won't find me down. You won't find me depressed. You won't even find me discouraged when bad news comes. I can handle it. You say, why? Because I got a pretty healthy soul. Now, listen to me very carefully. When you complain, listen to this statement. When you complain, that's total selfishness because you didn't get what you wanted your way. It's either your way or it's no way. Do you know there are things that get done around this church by you people and volunteers and even my secretary at times? Do you know she does things differently than the way I would? But I'm too busy to do it. I'm just thankful it got done. Do you know, you might do something out in the parking lot, Brother Dan, or Brother Jeff with the greeters, or Brother Kermit with our ushers or Sunday school teachers. You know, not every Sunday school teacher would teach their class the way I would teach it. But you know what? I can't teach every Sunday school class. I didn't ask you to teach it the way I teach it. I just asked you to teach it. I can't do everything by myself. Therefore, guess what? It's going to be done differently. But you know what? It gives us a healthy soul around here.
Amen.
Boy, that's good stuff. Listen to this statement. Complainers are the very people who feel nobody cares about them. Do you notice the Bible says, cried, poured out his complaint, looked around, refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. Do you know why nobody cared for their soul? Because nobody wants to be around a complainer. You know, there are some people in life you don't say, how are you doing? Because they'll tell you. You'll know everything that's wrong that quick. And the list grows. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There are certain people I don't say, how you feeling today? Say why? Because I don't have time to find out. I'm old enough to know what it means to get up and hurt and live with hurt. Believe me. You know, preacher, how you doing? Man, I'm doing great. I'm not doing good because I've never been good, but I'm doing well. Amen. Do you hurt? Of course I do. I can tell you when the storms are coming. I got bad bones. I'm okay. Folks, guess what? It's normal to feel pain. Now, there are some pains you need to get fixed, amen? But if you're married to him, you can't fix it. You know, here's the thing. How you doing? Oh, under the circumstances, I'm okay. What are you doing under the circumstances? Get on top of them. Man, I don't live under circumstances. I get on top of my circumstances. you know, decide you're going to create the stress, not be the one who is stressed. You know, I don't live under circumstances. Say why? Because I'm not going to let my circumstances control my soul. Levi and I yesterday went to, I preached in a nursing home yesterday. He went with me and Brother and Mrs. Rogers were there. We were driving back and the sun finally popped out. Well, no, it hadn't. It was still snowing, wasn't it? The sun came out later. I said, Levi, I don't understand something. Now, here I am talking to a teenager, philosophizing. I said, I really never allow the weather to affect my attitude. He said, I don't either, Brother Bush. By the way, he doesn't. That's why I was talking to him. You know, it can be raining, cats and dogs, and I feel the same as when the sun shines out. It can be snowing to beat the bandwagon. It makes me angry. But it doesn't change my outlook other than, ooh, I got to go shovel that stuff again. Now, wait a minute. I don't get depressed when I don't see the sunshine. I really don't live that way. You can ask my wife, my daughter, anybody that's around me. My soul stays on top of that. There's times, Brother Smith will tell you, we meet in my office before we come out here. And if it's raining or dark, dreary, I'll say, Brother Smith, give it a little extra punch. It's humid out. Everybody's like this. Say, why? Because they're letting the circumstances affect their soul. We allow so much external stimuli to affect us. And I got to hurry. Number three. And by the way, some of you need to let me help you because your soul is not healthy. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm not saying that because I want more to do. I'm saying that because I care about your soul. I've got a few ladies in here. You could vacuum the carpet and never pick up the vacuum because your lower lip is sucking the floor, buddy. Man. So, yeah, but I'm here every service. I do what I'm supposed to do, but how's your soul? I was assistant pastor in South Carolina for 4.5 years down in the Charleston, South Carolina area. Some of the best friends I have in this world are black folk. And I, by the way, a person's skin color doesn't determine anything. Right. Nothing. The soul and the spirit has no color. But man, I've preached in some black churches. They'll pull preach out of you in a hurry. They got soul. They got that personality. Yeah, buddy. They got soul. You want in something enjoyable, listen to a black preacher preach, buddy. You can enjoy it. Say why? Because they got soul. They got personality. They let it shine through there. Amen. Now, sometimes the doctrine's not always there, but I know lots of white preachers that are worse in doctrine than some of those black fellas. Say, why are they so enjoyable? Because they put their soul in it. Yeah. Now listen to me very carefully. Some of you need to let me help you with your soul. Do you know you can be obedient and have an unhealthy soul? Did you ever watch your children obey, even when they didn't feel like it? I've even seen children obey, and they weren't feeling well. Can I tell you something? Your soul could be sick while you obey. Number three, and I'll hurry. Bible says we are in need of converting our soul. James chapter 5, turn there. James chapter 5. I want you to see something. I want you to notice this isn't talking about your spirit. This is talking about your soul. Look at verse number 19, the last two verses, James chapter 5. Brethren, look at me. Brethren, is that talking to saved or lost people? Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one converteth him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Everybody look at me for a minute. There's a difference between salvation and conversion. Oh, couple months ago, I preached a whole sermon on salvation and conversion. We saved this building from nothingness when we started leasing it. This room and the use of this building has been converted. It used to be used as a warehouse and training facility. It's been converted to a church building. Some of you used to come in here for training. A couple weeks ago, a man walked through that door. He said, "Wow, this building never looked like this before." I said, "Yeah, we've converted it." Brother Arcola out in Blacksville, West Virginia, the building his church meets in used to be an old bar. It used to be used by the devil. Now God's using it. See people get saved and lives changed. It was converted. Many of you in this room have had your spirit saved. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me ask you a question. How is your soul? I'm going to get in trouble here. Many of this people in this room think that salvation converts your soul, but it does not. That's why a person can get saved and never grow in the Lord, because they don't change their soul. God's not talking about your eternity being converted. He's talking about your personality, your ability to get along with others that needs converted. Folks, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're spirit is dead and you have nothing to convert your soul. If you've not trusted Jesus Christ and him alone to take you to heaven, you have nothing to convert your soul with. You're kind of like that puppy dog that goes from person to person. You might even have a good attitude, but you just kind of go with the flow. But you get born again and allow the Spirit of God to work in you, and you have the wherewithal to change your soul. Let me say this. Some of you are miserable because your soul has never been converted. Well, that's just the way I'm going to be the rest of my life. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? What profit is there? By the way, do you realize that most religion is about the soul? People that believe you can work your way to heaven teach a soul saving, not a spirit saving. I'm going to make a statement here. Some of you that are seasoned Christians, strap in real tight. When you go soul winning, it's a true term, but when you win souls, you're not seeing them saved. You're winning them to you so that you can get the gospel to them so that their spirit can get born again.
Amen. Good.
Brother Smith, why don't you stand over here? If I go soul winning this way, let me show you how unsuccessful I would be. I knock on the door. He opens the door. "Hello, sir. My name's Craig Bush, pastor of Grace Baptist Church. Hey, you know, if you died right now, you're going to bust hell wide open and fry like a sausage." Guess what? That was pretty good, wasn't it?
If you said bacon, you'd have had me.
Used the wrong meat, amen? Folks, my soul is not real good, is it? And because my soul did not reach his soul, guess what? I didn't have the opportunity to give him the gospel. He opens the door. He's not real smart.
It's already open.
Hello, my name's Craig Bush. I'm pastor over Grace Baptist Church. What's your name?
Matthew.
Matthew, do you go to church anywhere?
No, sir.
Man, you're just the person I'm looking for. I've been knocking all these doors waiting to find you. Matthew, have you ever thought about going to church?
Time to time?
Good. I would love to have you come. I'll start talking about our church a little bit. I'll say, Matthew, what kind of work do you do?
Electrician.
You're an electrician? Good night. I got about a half a dozen of those in my church. I need one that knows what he's doing. Do you know what you're doing? Gotcha, Brother Gus. Amen. I saw him over your shoulder there. It was worthwhile. It was right there. Matthew, let me ask you a question. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven someday?
No, sir.
You don't. Boy, guess what? Because I finally got him to converse with me, talk with me, maybe even like me a titch, he let me go to the next step. That's called soul winning. Fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. Say, why is he wise? Because he has friends around him and the ability to make people like him so that he can help them. I hate to tell you, that's not a real, what you call soul winning verse. Because winning somebody's soul means you win their personality to you so that you can help and influence them. Thank you, Brother Smith. It's a command of God to knock on doors and tell people about Jesus Christ. And we'll continue to use the word soul winning. But I mean this when I say this. And those of you that come to our soul winning meetings, you get tired of me saying this. But I think that you ought to be kind as you go soul winning. I think you ought to treat people the way you would like to be treated. I think that you ought to treat somebody else's wife the way you'd want somebody to treat your wife if they were on your doorstep. Say, what is that? Soul winning. I don't think that you ought to argue. Say, but you don't know what that... I'm not here to argue with anybody. My Bible says, Jesus said, if they don't agree with you, shake the dust off your feet and go to the one, talk to the one that will listen to you. He didn't say stand there and argue. Everybody doing okay? Can I tell you something? If you were more likable, maybe you'd have more people saved. Some of you have the personality of a doorknob. And you wonder why people aren't friendly. Well, I went to that church. I sat down and nobody said anything to me. Well, did you say anything to them? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, I believe Grace Baptist Church ought to be the most friendly place in town. But sometimes you're not sure whether to duck or pucker, amen? I was somewhere this week and a guy says, oh, I've heard about your church. I said, was it good? He said, yeah. I said, whew. He laughed. Folks, I get reports. You don't know what reports I get. I found out just this week, one of our men, he was having an opportunity with his vehicle. Had a tire that needed some work. Bought a little patch kit. Went to go, he was pretty smart. He went to where the air was before he fixed it, just in case, amen? Got there, somebody else had a flat tire. Before he fixed his, he was able to help fix that man's tire, get it up, and go on. Isn't that what life's all about? That's called a good spirit, good soul. See, those are things that make it enjoyable. When I go soul winning, I hate to tell you, I'm no different at the door than I am right here. Those of you that have been with me, you know what I'm talking about. Good night, I'll look, see a deer head on the wall, I'll start talking about it. Somebody says they're an electrician, I start talking what little I know about electricity. Say, what is that? Glad it's you, not me. I'm not touching that stuff. Say, what is that? Are you using people skills? I don't know what you call it. I call it just being friendly. I was an assistant pastor in Long Beach, California for 2 years. Listen to this statement. Long Beach, California is a long ways in attitude and geography from Charleston, South Carolina. I was in Long Beach during the LA riots with Rodney King. They were burning buildings down 5 blocks from my house. I spent time in Compton, California. Those of you that don't know what Compton, California is, there's a sign as you go into Compton saying, when the devil visits America, he comes here first. Sponsored by the city. I led the chief of the detectives of the Compton Police Department to Christ, Danny Sneed. Danny was that tall, weighed 200 pounds, and had a 29-inch waist. He was built like this. One of the toughest men I ever saw. I baptized he and his wife. Amazing story. Now, L.A. is far different than the deep south of South Carolina. I got off of a plane, drove my truck all the way to South Carolina. I went out soul winning with one of the deacons in the church there in South Carolina. Guy looked at me. Now, I'll tell you how far in the south I was. Brother Warren's first name was Bugs. It was either Bugs or Bubba. I think his first name was Lonnie, but he went by Bugs. I knocked on the first door. I started talking like I normally do. Shut the door. He said, Brother Bush. I said, Yes, sir. He said, You're going to have to slow down for us folk. I said, What you talking about? He said, Brother Bush, us southern folks don't talk as fast as you, and we don't hear as fast as you. He said, You're going to have to slow down and ratchet jaw a while. I said, What's ratchet jaw? He said, Let me show you. I'm thinking, man, I could have had six knocks in. Yes, door opened up. Lady answered the door. He said, Howdy, ma'am. How are you? They just started talking. Man, they were talking weather. They were talking this. She said, Y'all want some sweet tea? No. I want to go to the next door. He said, Sure, come on in. We went in, sat down. He starts drinking sweet tea. He's talking to this lady. 20 minutes later, he finally wins her to the Lord. He walked out and he said, Brother Bush, that's ratchet, John. I said, But brother, he said, I got one, did you? Some of us are like a computer, is all we want to do is start puking out information. How's your soul? Some of us are so busy that we want our kids to do everything, but how's their soul? We want our wife to be able to handle this, handle that, handle this, handle this, handle this, handle that. How's her soul? Maybe you need to back off your wife, back off your kids so that they have a healthy soul. Let me ask you a question. Some of you don't praise God. Can I tell you why? You don't have a healthy soul. I'm just going to say this. Some of you would have more people to church and more people saved if you had a healthy soul. Did you ever ask yourself, what do I look like when I knock on somebody's door? How do I act? If somebody knocked on your door the way you knock on their door, would you talk to them? Everybody doing okay? Huh. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, Fellas, what would you give in exchange for your soul? Some of us are selling our souls out to our cell phones. We're selling our soul out to social media. We're selling our soul out to money. Everybody doing okay? We're selling our souls out to success. You know, you can be addicted to success. If Donald Trump walked through those doors right now, most of you wouldn't even care. Say why? Because he's got a lousy soul. Got a lot of money, but a lousy soul. You're fired! A man who brags and makes money about having a bad soul. Huh, no wonder he's been married about a half a dozen times. No wonder nobody wants to be around him. They want his money. They want his influence. But they don't want to be around him. Let me ask you a question, Daddy. Are your children afraid of you?
Good.
Is your wife afraid of you? Is she afraid to look at you and say, I just can't do that?
Amen.
Is it okay for her not to? Is it okay for your kids not to? Everybody doing okay?
Come on. Amen.
Boy, that's good. Maybe somebody in this room, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today's the day. Oh, you can have a good personality, but die and go to hell. By the way, your soul is as eternal as your spirit is. It's got to go forever somewhere, either heaven or hell. Jesus made heaven available for you if you just trust Him as your Savior. But there's many in here, you've been saved, and you need to get your soul converted today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, Brother Bush? If I die today, I know 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, Brother Bush, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call you out. I won't do anything any more differently than I did just a moment ago. Do you say, Brother Bush, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? All right. A couple little hands. That's it. Who'd say, Brother Bush, for the first time maybe or first time in a long time, I see something. My soul's not as healthy as it should be. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. Maybe you've been saved and you've never been baptized. We can take care of that today. Maybe you just need to come to this altar and pray. By the way, you won't be alone. Many, many will come. You say, oh, they might know I'm a sinner. Guess what? We already do. All of us are sinners. Maybe you just need to come and get your soul converted.